We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
One Lynch to another Lynch at the offensive coordinator spot. We go from one Joey to another at the quarterback coaching spot. I'm sure there's never any confusion in meeting rooms.
Yeah. Coach New just does a good job of saying my last name, so they know who I am that way.
Congrats on your first full-time job, by the way.
Thank you.
What's it like? How old are you?
30. 30 years old. Turned 30 in June.
You've got to be one of the younger quarterback coaches in the country.
I don't know.
I feel like I'm the one that should know that. I feel like I'll have to go look that up now. What's it like to be in your position, to be in your spot?
Exciting. Just really since I've been here last May, I was excited to come over and work with the team last year, and then had a great time. And the thing that I've been so lucky to have is just to be able to learn from the great coaches that we do have. You mentioned not only Kevin, but Joey, and then obviously Coach New. If you want to learn about the quarterback position, there's nowhere further to go than Coach New. So I just feel blessed really to be here. So it's been awesome so far.
What have you learned from Coach New?
Man, just the way that he speaks to the quarterback, he makes it easy for them. Obviously it's a challenging job, but just the way he takes a difficult thing and tries to make it, turn it into a simpler message for those guys, and the confidence that he instills in the position is cool. And I think obviously you can see that with the way that Drew plays right now. He's a confident guy and has had a lot of success. So I learn a lot from him every day. Every meeting, I feel like I'm there writing things down too. So
it's always nerve-wracking when your boss is observing you firsthand. But I know Coach New spends a lot of time with the quarterbacks now too. What is that like for you? I'm sure there's something cool about watching him work and watching the way that he coaches them and helping you learn and helping you get better at coaching them. Is there also a nerve-wracking point though, because you're like, all right, I got to make sure I do this the right way because Coach is watching, or I have to make sure I teach this the best way because I want to give off the right impression.
I don't think
not from a professional standpoint.
Right.
Like, is there a personal, like, oh God, the boss is watching?
Well, I think just in general, his level of detailedness and preparation is, makes you bring yourself to that level too.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you're prepared for everything, and then I wouldn't say nervousness, just the ability to ask him. If you do have a question, hey, coach, what do you think? Or, you know, what should I do here? Or whatever the case is. So, and you know, he'll give you the what he thinks, which is great. So, no, I wouldn't say nervousness, but you do want to make sure you know, you see the level of detail that he puts into things, and you want to make sure that's one thing that's been great is just to make sure that, you know, you have your P's and Q's marked and all that stuff. So
it would scare the dickens out of me. That's why I asked. No. Like, did I say that the right way? Is that what I – all right, we're good. Joey Heklinski joins us. He is Ball State's quarterbacks coach. You are not the first Heklinski to coach at Ball State. There are two others. Jeff is now the offensive coordinator at San Diego State with Brady Hoke. He's your cousin. Your uncle has done broadcasting with us as well. Ron Heklinski was an assistant on the Sweet 16 team. What does Ball State mean in the Heklinski family?
Man, it's almost a second home. Just growing up, like you said, my Uncle Ronnie was a assistant here on the Sweet 16 team and then took over at Anderson, which is you know, very close. So growing up in the wigwam and being the ball boy at basketball camp, and then obviously coming here, and you know, when Jeff was the receivers coach here, I thought this place was, you know, it was the Mecca. So just being able to be on the sideline and see guys that, you know, they were, everybody had favorite teams, and you know, played with a team on NCAA video games. I played with Ball State, so it's been great to be back here and to be here. Like I said, I consider myself blessed because this place means so much to me.
What are some early memories you have of being around when those two guys were here?
I would say watching the Sweet 16 video, like the tournament video that they put out, and seeing my Uncle Ronnie run on the after they won to get to the Sweet 16, I was like, oh, that's my uncle on the floor. And then from a football standpoint, two things: just the being on the sideline for some of the games, and then being able to come to Ball State football camp as a camper was really cool. And I remember having Joey Lynch as one of the guys working with me, and then to see him, you know, as I got into playing and into coaching, and you know, him be like, hey, Joey, how are you doing? Like, oh, my God, you remember my name? Like, I remember looking up to you. So those are two of the, like I said, this place is special to me. So I'm excited to be here.
He has had this conversation with me, so I have to imagine he's had it with you. Your uncle has many times told me that if Ball State would have beaten UNLV, they would have won the national title.
They gave him the best game. They gave him the best game, so I agree with him on that.
Oh, you were ready for that one. I tossed it out there. And you,
like I said, I've seen the video.
What was your relationship with Joey Lynch like, dating back to, like, what for you to, like, what kind of impact did he make on you when you would go to camps?
Yeah, so just as, like I said, just to, as a little kid to see Joey Lynch, the quarterback here, you know, one, I thought it was so cool that we had the same name, yeah, you know, and then as I got older and got into coaching, to see him, and like I said, he knew who I was and said hi to me and all that stuff, the opportunity then to work with him when it was presented was like a no-brainer, like, oh, man, I can't wait, like, I'd be so excited to do that. So obviously he is you know, someone that is super smart and a great football coach. And, you know, I've learned a lot from him since being here and even before that.
Joey Heklinski joins us. He's Ball State football's quarterback coach. He was the quarterback at Marion in 2013. You were on the team in 2012 when you guys won the national championship at the NAIA level. What is it like to win a national championship?
It is it's obviously fun. I'd be lying if I didn't say it was that. But I think the common thing that I would say on the teams that I've been on that have had success and then coming here was just taking it one at a time, you know, one day at a time, one
game
at a time.
It's so boring, but it's so true.
It is true. It is true. The more you look too far ahead, the less you forget, or the more you forget about what you need to take care of that's right in front of you. So, like you said, it is boring, but that's the one thing I would say, just take, you know, each practice, the competition level of our practices was high, you know, and I think that led to us playing the game at a high level, and that's, you know, that's the way you should play the game.
What was the immediate feeling like, though? Can you just remember back to 2012?
Yeah.
When the horn ends, what happened?
Well, it was an overtime game, so it was one that we won the semifinal game on a game-winning field goal, and so that was, you know, rush the field, and then you get to the game, to the final, and we scored. I think we had a two-minute drive to tie it and kicked a field goal to go into overtime, and then won in overtime, basically kicked another field goal in overtime to win. And so it was just it was, you know, pandemonium, excitement, you know, relief, all that stuff. And it was such a close locker room. All the great teams I've been on, the locker room has been so close. So just excited to see the hard work that we had put in pay off, you know.
You were there in 15 as a coach, right?
Correct.
When they won again.
Correct.
Different vibe, or like what's it like to win a championship as a coach? Because I'm sure that's obviously your current goal.
Yeah, I would say, again, there's similarities across teams, and just one, the way we competed at practice. We had some really good players. We had two guys who are in the NFL right now, Krishan Hogan and Brandon Dillon. So obviously we had talented players, but the level of competition that they brought each day was impressive. And you know, it carried over into the games. And then, like I said, it's boring, but because it's...
There's a reason Nick Saban and Bill Belichick make
right,
a lot of money.
Right, and the
it's
thing
not
about,
their personalities.
Right, and the thing with NAIA and smaller college football is that it's a playoff format. So it really is one. If you want to get to the national championship, you have to win the first round game, the second round game, and so on. So you get into the playoffs, and it's kind of that survive and advance mentality. But again, equally as cool.
Were you a teammate with Josh Miller, or was he on the team when you coached it?
He was actually in between. He came after I graduated.
Okay.
So he played at Marion in 2014, and then was at Ball State, I believe, in 15.
Okay.
So
you guys never overlapped then?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, I wrote that down in my notes. I was like, I wonder if they were together. How did you get into this whole coaching business? Was that just a given based on who your family is?
Yeah, I think.
Or did you want to? What was your what was your major? You were math guy?
Mathematics and secondary education. Basically, I, you know, being a growing up around coaches, I had my dad coached me in sports. I had his brother, my uncle Don, was a baseball coach, was a head baseball coach at the University of Indianapolis and at Miami of Ohio for a little bit. My other
don't tell coach knew that, by the way.
Right, yeah. I know. My uncle Mike, or Mickey, was a state championship high school football coach, Jeff's dad, and then my uncle Ronnie obviously was here and at Anderson. So you grow up around coaches, and you know, you just see you grow up at practice basically. You're getting the water or getting the ball or you know, at camp, working the concessions, whatever it is. So you just grow up around sports and then playing it. Obviously, I knew I wanted to play as long as I could, and was fortunate enough to play in college. And then from there, I knew I wanted to coach. Like I said, I was math and secondary ed, so I didn't know if I wanted to be in high school or in college. And was able to get a job at Manchester University right out of college and coaching the receivers and quarterbacks there. And so once I got into a season there, I was like, all right, this is what I want to do. So, but it's been fun. It's been fun. Like I said, I grew up around sports, so just be able to go out to practice and be around the guys and a team, I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
We know a lot about Drew Plitt. I know John Paddock is pretty good, though, too. You've got to feel really good about your depth situation right now.
Yeah. Obviously, it starts with Drew. We feel like, you know, he's at playing a game at such a high level that it's fun to watch him go out there and see what he does and what he talks about and kind of what his thought process is. But then John is another guy who is a competitive guy. So he is as hard on himself as more so than anybody else could be. So just to see, you know, the mindset that he brings out to practice is fun to get to coach that guy. So, and then, you know, like you said, there's a lot of depth at our and some young guys who are talented at our group. To watch them kind of learn and watch John and Drew, you know, watch the way these two do it and the work that Drew's put in over his course here, man. There's no better guy to look up to and learn from than Drew Plitt. So see what he's done. If you want to be successful, this is what it takes. So
why is Drew playing at a high level right now? What is different? What is elite about Drew Plitt in 2020?
I think it starts off with his knowledge of the game and of our offense. He knows kind of what everybody is supposed to be doing on each play, and then his knowledge of defensive football as well. And so what he can do to get ourselves in the best, you know, possible play and position to move the ball down the field. And then obviously he has the talent to make all the throws and the athleticism to extend plays. So he's not afraid. He's not afraid to cut it loose out there, and to watch him kind of, play with the confidence that he has is fun to see.
Why do guys follow him, though? I feel like there's something about him that – do you get that sense that guys will run through a brick wall with him?
Yeah, I do. I think he has natural leadership abilities, and obviously at this position, one of the things that we talk about and Coach New talks about with these guys is just the vocal leadership is a necessary thing in our position. You can't just lead by example. And Drew's going to go out and work harder than anybody else, and guys see that, and he's able to be vocal and help bring guys with him. And I think guys respond to that, which is cool.
Where's he even now still improving?
Drew, I think he improves every day just by coming out with his mindset, the mindset to get better, and to approach each practice the right way. To watch him at practice and watch the mentality that he has. If he misses a throw, he wants to throw it again. If he misses a check, he wants to run the play again. So,
do you guys run stuff again because Drew wants to?
Well, he didn't miss things very often, so that's a good thing.
But but will he come to you and say, "Hey, we're going to do that again," even if you wanted to move on? He's like, "No, we've got."
Yeah,
to do
let
that
me
again.
Get that again. Or if we're in a route, if we're in throwing routes to a receiver, I think like you said, why do guys follow him? Because if we throw a route and we miss, or it's not done exactly perfectly to the detail that he wants, he'll say, "Hey, get back up. Let's do that again until it's right." So I think guys respond to that. Guys see that, and they like, they want to work hard with him. So they see how hard he works, and they want, we're all in the same. We have the same mindset. So.